Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're all we need this morning. You're all we want. There's nothing greater than you. There's nothing greater than you this morning. And Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. And Father, this morning it's our desire to honor you. We honor you this morning. In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you such blessings that there will not be room enough to store it." "I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." In those verses, there's great promises. And God says that if we will bring our tithe into the storehouse, that he will open the floodgates of heaven. He'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on us such blessings that we'll not be able to receive it. And I don't know about you, but I want those blessings. I want those blessings. You know, my wife and I was having a discussion this morning, and she asked, "Isn't that quite a bit you're putting in?" And I'm going, "Yeah, it is quite a bit, but God has blessed us. And he's continuing to bless us." You know, in this time of isolation and discouragement and frustration, our God continues to provide. He continues, well, he not only provides for us, but he blesses us. He blesses us. And he's blessed my family. You know, through this whole thing, we haven't gone lacking. You know, our jobs, we've gone to our jobs every day. You know, and I'm thankful for that he was watching over us, and he was protecting us, and he was protecting this body. This morning, we have quite a few people gone. Tom and Jen are vacationing, and we want to bless them this morning and just encourage them to have a good time while they're gone. You know, we don't discourage people from going. In fact, you know, they need it, and they're blessed, and they're able to go. And so, Father, we bless them this morning in Florida, where there's probably 100 degrees difference. But we bless them anyway. They could just bring the sunshine back with them. Thank you, Jesus. So this morning, we get to bring our tithes and offerings. You know, we don't have to. We don't have to do anything. But if we don't want a curse on us, if we want those blessings withheld from us, you know, give your tithe this morning. So, Jeff, will you come, please? Hallelujah. And in community church, we don't take your offering. You bring it willingly before the Lord. And so we ask that you would bring your offerings this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. Well, Hallelujah. Well, today is Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know about you, but I'm not real excited about it, and I'm probably going to take a nap this afternoon because that's going to be the best thing anyway. So anyway, we have a great man of God speaking to us this morning, and it's his spiritual birthday this morning. It's his spiritual birthday this morning because a few years ago, he gave his heart to Jesus on Super Bowl Sunday in Detroit Lakes when Lowell Lundstrom brought forth a message. And so, Pastor Jake, we bless you this morning.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, praise and worship team. Fantastic. Once again. Yes. Well, we greet everyone here, and may you be blessed as you've come. And at 20-some below zero, well, I was only 18 when I left, so I couldn't blame anything on cold weather, except it's real nice in here. I like that. Glory to God. Yes. And we're so fortunate that we can, they say, well, you don't need a building to worship God, and that's true, but I like a building to get inside, and whatever I'm going to do, I really enjoy the heat, and being as I'm worshiping God, I even enjoy it better, and I can thank Him for that in such a big way. Amen? I like the warmth. Yeah. Yeah, you just, northern Minnesota, it's interesting, you're always looking at any type of pipe when you're thinking about plumbing, and you're always thinking about putting the pipe inside, not on the outside wall. And of course, we, if you do the outside deal, I've banked the church more often than not. We've had so many different heating systems. In fact, when we first started out, we burned 60 cords of wood. And if you think about 60 cord, 10 cord would give you probably heating for one house. And we used to burn it, but we didn't only burn it. We went and cut the wood, and they were cutting wood all over the place. And so it was a great fellowship time. You know, it was kind of like the center section, and I know there's some new people here. The center section, we literally were driving by about 40, 50 miles south of here, and there was 5 chicken barns, and they were 500 feet long. So that's 5, so we're talking about 2,500 feet of building. And I said, well, I'm going to call Crookston Courthouse and check out who owns that. And so I find out that it was repossessed, and they wanted $5,000 for all of those buildings. And the rafters were 42 feet wide. And being a builder, if you ever noticed there when we were having church services, because we had our church out there, we were always, it was built for 50 foot, but we only had, we had 42, so it was always off-centered. Now, no one probably noticed that except myself, because they should have been 50 foot rafters. But we got such a good deal on it, we went with 42, and you know, that's the way it is. I was thinking about life. We were at prayer meeting yesterday, and there was situations, of course there's always situations in the church and things to pray for in our nation, in the nations of the world. And, you know, God just said, make sure that you're real, that you're just flat real, and that you talk to me like a real person would, and discuss the situations that you're in. And so, you know, I know that In our nation right now, we have Republicans and Democrats, and we just went through an election, and there's a lot of upheaval on both sides, and I'm not going to get into a political, but it's just, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and how do you pray? Because it said if we don't pray, then we're not going to get the result. It said if we pray, heaven will come to earth and begin to change things around us. And so Danny and myself were at prayer meeting yesterday, and we just started praying simple prayers, but the prayers started turning into something strong and something mighty. And we weren't praying for President Biden or the staff there or anything. Well, we did pray for him, but it was intense prayer about people, and we don't call them common people, we call them great people. And you started praying, and you could feel heaven coming to earth, heaven coming to earth, heaven coming to earth. So when we pray, we start seeing heaven come to earth. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I was just thinking the portals of heaven opening up and angels pouring out on situations that we're concerned about, interested about, instead of a complaint, because I think maybe our first 10, 15 minutes were complaints because we went through all of CNN and Fox News and all that, and we had the complaints and we had it all laid out. Well, I was just wondering if God would come from heaven and begin to straighten out the situations on earth, in our own personal lives, in our family life, in our society, whether it be our city, and going to state and going to our nation, and start praying earnestly about that. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, I think the Holy Spirit rests on that. He said he wouldn't leave us comfortless, but he would send the Holy Spirit to us. And you know, in the United States, I'm a person that likes to watch Westerns. And I don't know, there's something about Westerns because there's good guys, bad guys, and then it usually ends up that the good guys win. And if you're a Western watcher, that's the way it is. John, you know, I just enjoy that. I'll sit down and I'll watch it. Maybe it's because you just click out, it's not too much, you know the good guy's going to win. And so today we're celebrating Super Bowl Sunday. And pretty exciting. I was thinking about that, Super Bowl Sunday, almost, I think maybe it's 41 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ on Super Bowl Sunday. And the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cowboys were playing. And I believe that the Steelers won 34-31. So today I know that listening to news and different things, I was hearing so much about the big game, the Super Bowl game. And I've been thinking about Super Bowl. We discussed it yesterday at prayer. And I was thinking about how God can take something that seems to be very insignificant and you're playing for the greatest thing that ever happened on planet Earth and in heaven, is that we're playing the Super Bowl of what God's wanting to do. When Pastor Danny was talking about how he takes a principle, and most games are made up of principle. If you break the principle, you might get by with it once or twice, but if you go, okay, I'm going to apply the principle. You know, throughout our lives, we started playing, especially here in northern Minnesota, we started playing basketball. I played baseball, basketball, football, track, all of those things, and there were principles in it. If you took off a half hour before you run the mile and you got home, you're not going to get counted for you running according to the race, according to the principle. And I think we have to understand that God is a principle God, and he moves in principles. And so I think that's very, very powerful. So Super Bowl 13, that was 13 way back then. And the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys, they won. The Steelers won 35-31. But Kurt Jacobson, who I am, I missed the Super Bowl. I missed the Super Bowl because I went to an evangelical meeting with Evangelist Lowell Lundstrom. Now, I didn't know Evangelist Lowell Lundstrom in any way, shape, or form. Chad worked with him for 3-4 years. And so Chad knows him a lot better. I did get to know him quite good after many, many years that I'd met him, and we had meetings together. And he was probably the greatest evangelist up in the North Country here in a lot of different places. I think he won over, how many people? Yeah, a couple hundred thousand people. That's what I call a winner. Hallelujah. And so Lowell, he's in heaven today with his wife and several others. I think his brother Larry still is preaching the gospel and Gloria. But it was my time on earth to receive my Super Bowl Sunday. And I got to become part of this great thing called God, His kingdom, His glory on earth. And when we call upon Him on the name of the Lord, things change. And you know, I was thinking about my first initial contact with God. You know, and I remember Lowell Lundstrom saying, you know, it takes more to carry a Bible down the street than a bottle of whiskey. And you know, at that time, I would be probably more apt to carry the bottle of whiskey. But there was something about what Lowell said that just, you know, went right into my heart. And I had just started a new business. And of course, you don't want to affiliate. You want to affiliate with the best people, the most influential people in the community and around when you start a business. And I didn't know. I had to think, and I was thinking, maybe overthinking, but I was thinking, well, what's going to happen when I walk up? Because there was an invitation to come forward and ask Jesus Christ into my heart. And Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know why we were in this high school down in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, but we were there. And the Super Bowl was going to be played or had been played or was being played. But there was something that happened to me that day that literally changed my life. Now, I had to look up the statistics on who won, how many points were made today with the Steelers and with Dallas. But I know this much. I don't have to look up who won that day as far as myself asking Jesus Christ into my life. And I appreciate that so very much. How about yourself?
Yes.
And if you haven't did it, it's a great way to go. It's a Super Bowl Sunday, or Monday, Tuesday, or whenever you make that type of commitment, it's so, so powerful, and it's life-changing. And I come home from that meeting, and I think Sandra, my wife, was there. But I come home, and I said, I'm changed. And you don't realize how many times I told her that, you know, I was going to stop this, I was going to stop that, I was going to stop all of those things that I couldn't stop unless I had a power on the inside of me that could stop those things and change those things. And we were talking about yesterday, you remember, Danny, when we talked about nothing? You know, we can do nothing. You know, He brings us to a place that we can do nothing, but in Him, we can do all things. And so we want to stay in Him. And so I started experiencing in Him. And you know, it was 2 weeks, it was 3 weeks. It was interesting. I said, man, where did all the Christians come from? Because when I made that commitment to Christ, it was just like every door, every place I walked around, there was a Christian and they were testifying about the Lord. Maybe it was where I was hanging out that wasn't very good at those times, that they weren't telling me about Jesus or telling me about the Lord. You know, I remember being, I called myself an elder in the VFW because I was a veteran of foreign wars, and I went to the VFW quite a bit, and it wasn't for trying to benefit the veterans. And it was like we were elders in the VFW. That was our church. And we would tell our stories, and most of them were lies. And it was fun to begin to experience the truth. And you started telling the truth, how it changed your life, how it changed your family's life, how it changed just your perspective on life. The day I gave my life to Jesus, Super Bowl Sunday, my son was 4 years old, Adam. We lost Adam 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago. That's that drum set right there with the AJ. That's Adam Jacobson. That was his drum set. And so we didn't lose him. We haven't gained him. We're missing him. But at that time, I was kind of his hero. And he seen me walk down to the altar, and he shouted out, "Dad, wait for me. Dad, wait for me." And so we accepted the Lord at the same time. He was four, and I was probably 25, 26 years old. But "Dad, wait for me." And it never, that never left, that voice never left, that little boy's voice never left. "Wait for me, Dad." And I think it's important that when we make decisions, spiritual decisions, how it changes the whole perspective, the whole family areas and different things. And we started going to church. We were not churchgoers. We were religious in nature, but not churchgoers. In three years, I'd given my life to Christ, went to Bible school, and we left Detroit Lakes, moved up here, and started a church here, and we're still here. It was super. It was a super Sunday event that took place that literally changed our lives as far as our family, our lives forever. It's important that we make these things known to people around us. And when we testify, when we make a testimony of the greatness and the goodness of God, it's very important that it's something so spiritual, so powerful, that it's life-changing. And I was thinking about Revelation 11, and it said, "They have overcome him by reason of the blood of the Lamb." Okay. "And the reason of the word of their testimony, and they have not loved their lives unto death." I was thinking about probably the greatest person ever lived on earth through the power of God, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And what his Son had to do to achieve, to accomplish the greatest thing that we could ever accomplish. And so, in fact, we were having a discussion this last week just about, I had a discussion about what does people think about Jesus people, you know, or what does people think about Christians? And we're getting quite a bit of information on the airwaves, what people think about born-again Christians and how they look at us, and actually they're going to examine us soon and see if we didn't lose it along the way, and try to correct us, try to bring us back into reality, whatever reality is. And And of course, there's something on the inside of me that just likes to would like to scream. That's why I'm a little bit too much into politics, probably. Just watching, I'm going, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. And whether it be on Democrat or the Republican Party, a lot of it doesn't make sense. What makes sense is, come on, let's work together, let's be in unity to make this place called planet Earth a better place to live. And I think that the best place that we can start with is testifying of the greatness and the goodness of what God can do, because we made a decision to step out, and it was a super day in my life that I've never forgotten. Like I said, I had to look up the Super Bowl guys in 1979 again, but I have not forgot the day that Jesus come into my heart. And they loved their lives not unto death. This has always been a struggle for me, because it's almost like, well, I'm going to have to die. You know, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to have to die some way so I can prove my love. But you know, just living for Christ really proves the love. And that's the dying. That's really the dying. When we live for Christ, when we make decisions that are Christ-based, out of heaven to earth decisions, it'll change everyone's life, everyone's perspective. And when you walk into the room, if it's 18 below zero, I would expect that we're going to change that, because we do not like 18 below or 22, 23 below zero. We will have to change that, and we have the ability to take the thermostat, turn it up, get it to a place that makes sense and is normal. And Jesus Christ makes sense to me. It said that our testimony was that we were again in the Amplified Bible. It says, and they overcame and conquered him. And him was the demonic forces. You know, sometimes they say, well, I don't know why we have so much problems on earth. Well, we have, I don't know why God would have us to go through all of those things. Well, we do have God, and then we do have an evil force called the devil. And if you do any research about spiritual things, you'll find out that there's also an evil force that does not want us to succeed. All right? So when we do principles of the kingdom, what do you think if you're sick and you start praying against sickness, what do you think is going to happen? You're in it for the fight. You know, you I'm just going to be sick. Well, you know, if it's the flu, a one-day flu, you probably won't bother too much. But if it's cancer, you're going to get very serious about what you're praying about. Amen. And we've had several people that are not here today. They're here on planet Earth, but they're not here in this building today, that they were battling cancer, but cancer lost because we believed that we could pray, and the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us for the remission of sin and so many other things. Healing comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. And so with that testimony, the Amplified said, and they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they did not love their lives and renounce their faith, even facing death. Okay? So now we're a little serious. Okay, well, we don't like born-again believers. Well, That's your prerogative. But the big thing is, I'm not going to give up my faith, renounce my faith for being a Christian brother or sister. And I am going to show more love, more concern, more ability to love in that situation, because I got Christ living on the inside of me. Now, I could complain, moan, and groan all the way to the bank if I had no money and couldn't put no money in. But the fact is, man, I'm blessed. Yes. And when Danny was receiving the offering, I said, you can't outgive God. But it's a principle that when God said that when you give this amount, which is a tenth, a tithe, then God opens up opportunities. He opens up opportunities and you'll be tremendously blessed. And I could go on that deal and tell you about things that God did when I was obedient to that. And so I was thinking about that when that was in Revelations when they were talking these things. And Genesis 12, it starts talking about the blood and how important it was for the blood to be placed upon the doorposts of the people, which was Israel at that time. The promised people were Israel. Place the blood over your doorpost, and you will be protected from the death angel. Okay? So if we had a word like that today and say, make sure you have the blood placed over the door or the doorpost of your house, because there's a death angel that's going to come through and cause great, great harm and great stress and great sadness and all those things, I think I'd be getting the blood out, and I'd be putting the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of my life. Amen. And yourselves, wouldn't you do that? I mean, it wasn't like it was your blood. You didn't have to give up your blood, but there was blood all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way up to when the supreme sacrifice was given, which was Jesus Christ on the cross, and his blood was shed for myself, for you, and it changed everything that could be changed in our lives if we embrace the love of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. How powerful is that? And you know, I had went for many years. I was 26 years old when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, Super Bowl Sunday, 1979. And it's accomplished things that I'd never figured that I could ever accomplish in doing things. And I wasn't even interested in doing things until God changed my perspective on the life that I'm going to live and the life of blessing and not curse. Cursing. Danny had just brought that up during the tithe. It said, I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. And I don't even want to affiliate with the curse, so I'm going to do the blessing. I'm going to believe. I'm going to put the blood over the doorposts of my life, my family's life. I'm going to pray blessings upon each person that I know. I'm going to pray for the president of the United States and his cabinet. Well, they're all whacked out. I do believe that at times on both sides. But I'm just going, he didn't ask me to judge them. He didn't ask me to say, well, you better put your 2 cents in there, and I'm sure it's going to change everyone, and everyone's going to call you to, you know, get your expertise on all of the subject matter. The fact is, he told us to pray for him. And I just really believe that heaven knows a whole lot better than what's going on earth. And I believe when we release angelical visitation to the earth realm and the warring angels and the fight that is going on in high places, wickedness that's going on, and you know what? I don't even know if I'd like to understand everything that's going on in countries, our country, and other countries around the world. I don't know if I'd like that. But I know this much. I love the country I live in called the Kingdom of God. I love Jesus Christ, the one that took my sins and burdens and battles away, and he put me in that place called Kingdom living. I live in a kingdom called heavenly places with Jesus Christ right next to him. I love that. So in our thoughts, I think that it's important on Super Bowl Sunday. I was thinking, going back to the death deal. I remember being challenged The first couple of times we went on marches. I don't know if anyone's ever been on a march, like an abortion march or anything like that. You probably all have, or probably no one has. But I've been on a couple of those marches. And did I go because I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit? No, I went because somebody invited me to go, and you know, I thought it was the Christian thing to do, so I went. And I remember going to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and we went, and these doctors were performing abortion. This was way back when, probably 20 years ago. But they were, and so we were protesting them. And I guess I must have passed the test. I went and I come back home. But I come over to the church, and I was living right next door here. I come home from the church, or from that march, and I went over, and God, I asked the Lord, because you remember the pictures of Jesus holding the little baby, and you'd drive by, they usually were on the side of the road, and Jesus holding that little baby, and that kind of had stuck in my mind. And so I went to prayer back on the first building, way back over there, and God showed me what he thought about abortion. And it was the most, now, whether you agree with it or not, after I got done, I'll never be the same again on that subject matter. Because what he showed me, and I'm not going to get into that, but it was life-changing for my perspective of what he thought about the unborn and what he thought about something that he created and they didn't have a chance to live. You know, and I broke down. I literally cried for a half hour. I didn't have anyone around, and I'm not a big crier. You know, back then, I don't know if they even figured I'd ever could cry. But it just broke my heart, what Jesus was showing me. And that was the deepest revelation I had for quite a few years, was on that subject matter. And, you know, before that, I didn't really care. I mean, you know, abortion, this, that, women's rights to their bodies, birth control, whatever they were going for. But I laid down my life and heard Jesus, and I laid it down to death. And I mean, you could literally kill me before you're going to convince me that abortion is good for anyone or anywhere at any time. You know, I'd take it to the grave, because God shows us things that we can believe in, that Super Bowl Sunday would take someone like myself and literally be able to change a person like myself at that time. And most people, in fact, my sister-in-law, who is not here, she's in Texas, but she said if that guy could get saved, anyone could get saved. That was her testimony. And guess who started praying for me? Mary Jacobson, she prayed. I don't know if she married my brother to get at me. You know, she married my brother probably just to get at me. And so it was only about 3-4 years later, that's how long it took, but that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And something that was impossible to her, and she was a devout Christian at that time, said, God's real. God can do it. The blood is strong enough. The blood can change. The goodness of God and all of his creative miracles are here for each one of us every day that we live in him. And every person. You know, if we're going to pray for people, let's not pray curses on them. Let's pray blessings, that if I was in that type of shape, that could God reach others? You know, not caring about too much of anything except myself. But I began to lay down my life to gain a new life. And that's so powerful. Laying down your life to gain a new life. And I think sometimes our perspective, being now I'm probably 40, 41 years ago I did that. Super Bowl Sunday. And today, the Bucks and the Chiefs are going to be playing. And you might have your favorites, who's going to win, who's not going to win. And it's going to be a Super Bowl Sunday. And whoever wins in 5 years, you're going to have to look it up on Google like I did to find out who won in 2021 the Super Bowl. I won't remember it, and I'm interested in it. I'll be watching it. But I know this much, I won on Super Bowl Sunday. And there was a lot of people that were in that area, and a man that had led 200,000 in his lifetime, 200,000 people to Jesus Christ. He won again because a wise man or woman winneth souls. And if we want to be wise, it's so powerful that we can take our testimony, not anyone else's testimony. Well, I'm going to use his testimony, or I'm going to tell them about his testimony, but your testimony got you to the position of asking Jesus into your life. So your testimony is strong enough. And the blood, don't worry, it hasn't lost its power. It will not lose its power. And when you place that blood over your children, over your grandchildren, over your family, over your state, over your household, over your church, over your pastors, this is who we're supposed to be praying for. Sometimes you go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to pray for him. This is what we're supposed to be praying for. And when we pray for him, we pray with understanding. We don't pray, well, God, help make the right decisions. God, do we know the right decisions? It's surprising how many decisions we know already that God has informed us and gave us revelation on and how we can pray. I'm going to pray this way for our president, his vice president, and those in authority. Now, I'm not praying some weak prayer. Well, God, let him do everything right. The proof is in the pudding. That hasn't happened. But the fact is, God isn't done yet. Actually, God just begun. And all the way through the scriptures, I was thinking, being in Detroit Lakes many years ago, this was kind of a... Anytime you went out and witnessed, it was always tough to witness because there was something about it that was, it was hard to witness and tell somebody about Christ. But, you know, here in this scripture, it says they overcame him by the reason of the blood of the Lamb and the reason of the word of their testimony. Do you know how strong your testimony is? It's all powerful. God comes from heaven and starts changing the earth realm around you. And temperatures that are 22 below start coming up to normal, and they start saying, I want to make a change in my life. I want Jesus Christ to come in and be the Lord and the Savior of my life. And when he does, it'll change your life forever. Now, do you have to be serious? Probably no more serious than hearing what you're hearing and then making that type of commitment. 2021, I'm hoping us as a church and as a city church and as a United Team International as our outreach to nations, that we could literally change nations because we dared to believe that the blood has not lost its power, and our testimony has power to it. It hasn't lost, we just have to share it. And today, I was thinking, well, what am I going to share? I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to share that Jesus Christ paid a price I could not pay. I'm going to share that God so loved Kurt Jacobson that he gave up his only begotten son, that I might be able to be saved and be able to have perspective that's God's perspective and not my own perspective. And in that my testimony will be that I won't let people just slide by and say, hey, you're a nice person. No, I want to tell you about what happened to me. And they might, will they receive it right away? I don't know. but if you don't do it, they won't receive it. So our voice and that blood that was shed for us is our power to bring the world that we live in to that great, great place called the kingdom of God and being seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. Would you please stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. You said that God so loved the world and Jesus came and was obedient to saying, I lay down my life. I mean, we couldn't do it ourselves. We were nothing. We were castaways, and yet Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life. A man's man, a woman's woman. When you make that type of commitment and you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then he said that he'd not leave us comfortless. The Holy Spirit is here today. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you touch each one of us. And whether it be a subject matter that we need to know about, how we can help the souls, a wise man, woman, winneth souls. How can we be filled with the wisdom of God to change people's lives through our testimony and through the blood of the Lamb? Father, we ask, Lord, for that type of revelation. I ask, Lord, that the peace of God, the love of God, and the goodness of God will come upon us by the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. And as we leave this place, that Super Bowl Sunday will become our Super Bowl, whether it be on a Sunday or on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But people are looking to win. And they're looking for their Super Bowl. And there's going to be a challenge today. There's going to be two forces. And we win and he loses. Amen. It said we were fighting something. And the force of the enemy loses. And the force of God wins. So be blessed. Know that God is with you. Father, we ask right now the winds of God will be upon each person as they leave. Lord, that they will be filled with your Holy Spirit, because you said that your Holy Spirit will not leave us or forsake us. You're with us forever. I thank you for this now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We give anyone and everyone an opportunity to come and be prayed for. If there's anything that you're needing prayer for, we will pray and just believe that God can and will do some great, great things in that. God bless you. You are dismissed.